This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. This week, President Bush commutes the prison sentence of a former White House aide, Louis Libby. An Iraqi doctor is the first person charged in connection with last week's attempted bombings in London and Glasgow. And another high-ranking Republican senator breaks with the administration on Iraq. NPR senior news analyst Dan Chur joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And first, please, to the president's decision on Louis Libby.
Yeah.
He let stand the fine of $250,000 and, I believe, 2 years probation. But he said he made the decision to commute his sentence because he felt that the 30-month jail sentence for perjury was excessive.
Yes.
Among the questions, why do you think the president decided on a commutation rather than a pardon?
I think his father is probably asking the same question. His father, the first President Bush, gave out five pardons to people connected with the Iran-Contra affair, including Caspar Weinberger, the former Secretary of Defense. In this case, this president clearly wanted to have it both ways. He wanted to say, yes, all right, this is justice being done, but yet this is excessive. A man with very low rating in the polls right now, grasping for any support he can get.
Do you think a pardon is still a possibility?
I think a pardon is still a possibility, yes.
Question that was often raised this week. President Clinton issued a whole passel of pardons, if you please, as he was leaving office, including, most notably and controversially, the one for Mark Rich,
That's right. Guided
influence peddler, whose attorney, interestingly enough, was Louis Libby.
Isn't that funny?
Name comes back to us. How does this compare?
The president has done what presidents have done before. If they decide there is somebody he wants to do a favor to on leaving office, he may issue a pardon here and there. It's done in the dozens, it's done in the hundreds.
The allegation, of course, with Mark Rich is that he had been a very generous contributor to the Clintons.
His wife had been a big money raiser for him. And to do that certainly doesn't look very good. The Constitution says he can do it. That doesn't say it's nice to do.
Is this different?
This is different because when President Clinton did it, it was not for anything connected with what was happening inside the government. In this case, we're talking about somebody who was convicted of doing something while on the federal payroll and therefore is much closer to using the best kind of evidence he can.
I think the allegation in the Mark Rich pardon was that he essentially had used money to buy a pardon from the Clintons, which is kind of affecting government.
That's right, yes, but he was not a government officer. I mean, it may
not
be.
He was a businessman, yeah. And people have pointed out that the decision in this case may not exactly square with the president's position on tougher federal sentencing guidelines.
No, it doesn't square with anything. But the Constitution says the president can do it, and he can do clemency, he can do complete pardon, half pardon. He can do anything he wants to do. I'll give you one example. And in one case, President Nixon, when he was worrying about what he should do, was advised by a lawyer that he could pardon himself.
Yeah.
He chose to wait for his friend to do it.
President Ford, you mean?
Yes.
They weren't exactly friends, were they?
Ford was rather loyal to Nixon.
I want to turn to Iraq. Peter Domenici, Republican senator from New Mexico, has criticized the president's strategy on Iraq. Last week, it was Senator Lugar of Indiana. In an election year, do you see this as the shape of things to come?
Oh, yes. And I think when Congress comes back next week, we're going to see signs of that. As you mentioned, they now have three leading Republican senators who have taken a position upsetting the policy of the administration, and there may be more. I mean, they're looking forward to the election next year, and I would not be surprised if we see things tacked on to various appropriations bills. This is sort of the beginning.
Another Iraq funding bill has to come to a vote. And, of course, the Democrats last time tried to put benchmarks or timelines into it.
And they'll try again.
Do you think the result might be changed because of growing disaffection voiced by some Republican senators?
I think the president can hold out for some period of time on this. I mean, he can do the vetoes. The Congress has to take responsibility then of allowing appropriations that are needed not to be passed, and that gets to be a real tussle between the two of them. But it's getting harder and harder. The news from Iraq is not all that great. September looms when they're supposed to take a reading of this thing. They may not wait until September before some people want to see something happen.
A British-born Iraqi doctor, Bilal Abdullah, was the first person charged in connection with last week's attempted terrorist attacks. What do we know about him? What is the significance of the case so far?
Well, one significant thing is that apparently there is some word that two of them made inquiries in Philadelphia about maybe coming to work in the United States. So this brings the thing a little closer to us than it had been until now. You know, you remember what doctors' first thing they're supposed to do is do no harm?
Yes.
And look at all these medical people plotting to do harm.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
My pleasure.